Matthew chapter 14, I want to take a look today at verse 1 down through verse 12. And I'm taking the title for the message when I originally first read through this. And oftentimes when I read through it, I'm looking for some kind of a title to the message. And when I read through this, verse 12 caught my attention. And I think we'll use the words found in verse 12 for the title. His disciples came, that is, the disciples of the prophet of God, John the Baptist. They took up his body and they buried it. They gave it a decent burial. And then what did they do? They went and told the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing to do. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. They went and told the Lord Jesus Christ. These disciples of John received the body of their dear beloved brother, who was indeed the prophet of God, promised of God, the forerunner of Christ. They took proper care to bury the body of John, looking forward to the promise of the glorious resurrection of believers at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they went, after they had done that, they went to the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, and told him all that they had done. They took their heavy hearts, their heavy burdens to the Lord. That's a good thing for every believer to do. I text a scripture verse to someone this week who was going through a very heavy trial. And the scripture text that I sent was Psalm 55:22. Let me read it to you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So cast your burden, whatever your burden may be, cast it upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Never moved away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very wise thing for us to do. When we are burdened with trials, and we all have that, don't we? When we're burdened with trials, when we're burdened with heartaches, and we shall have them in this life. Man is born of woman, is few days and full of troubles. May God always give us grace to take our burdens to the Lord and pour our heart out before the Lord and leave those burdens with Him. Now, that's easy to say, but it's not so easy to do. Peter writes this in 1 Peter chapter 5, and he knew something about these heavy burdens, didn't he? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for his own. Now, we have in these verses, Matthew 14, down 1 through 12, we have in these verses the story of a cruel, wicked deeds of a man named Herod. He's called in other places Herod the governor or Herod the king. And these wicked deeds were against a man called John, the one sent of God, the Old Testament prophet John the Baptist. One of the first things that caught my attention when I read through this was the vast difference between these two men. The vast difference between these two men. What a difference between wicked, wicked Herod and the faithful prophet of God. What a contrast. What a difference. Both were fallen sons of Adam. In Adam all sinned and Adam all died. Both had that depraved nature that Adam lost, that Adam had after he sinned against God. But Herod was left to act after his own sinful will and wicked devices. Herod was unrestrained by the Lord. Herod acted as his father did, Herod the Great. You remember what Herod the Great did when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and the wise men told him about it? And Herod, because he thought they came and they said, "Where's he that's born king?" He thought his kingdom would be threatened. So what did he do? He went and killed all the children in Bethlehem 2 years and under. He killed everyone.
That was Herod the Great. Herod the Less,
his son, was not any better, was he? Herod acted as his father did, Herod the Great. John, that's the story of Herod. Wicked, wicked, born wicked, did wicked deed, died in his wickedness. But John, here's another man, born of Adam, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, just like us. But John was filled with the Spirit of God in his mother's womb and raised up to preach the gospel of God, to declare, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away our sin." He identified that promised lamb, Abel's lamb, Isaac's lamb. He identified that Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. He said, "This is the one that takes away the sin of God's people." Now, what a contrast between Herod and John. What a contrast. Now, my question is this. Who made these two men the difference? Who made the difference? Well, I'm going to tell you the difference. John was sovereignly chosen of God and blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ, while Herod was justly left to his own wicked heart, his own wicked deed, his own reprobate heart before God. God blessed one and passed the other one by. You know what we call that? Sovereign mercy. We call that God having mercy on whom he will have mercy. The Apostle Paul writes about it this way: "For who maketh thee to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you hadn't received it?" Everything we have is by the grace of God. Everything I know, he taught us. Everything I have, he gave us. Who has made us to differ from those who hate the gospel of God and have no interest in the gospel of God? Who made us to differ? Sovereign grace, sovereign mercy, sovereign love. I am what I am by the grace of God. But in these two men, we see the purpose of God being fulfilled, don't we? You remember what John said concerning his ministry? In John chapter 3, he said, "The Lord Jesus Christ, he must increase and I must decrease." I must decrease. John's ministry was now over. The Lord took him home to glory quickly. Was his life cut short? No. Did his ministry end too soon? No. It ended just exactly as God had determined from all eternity. You see, my friend, our days are determined of the Lord. We'll not die 1 second before or 1 second after God's appointed death for his people. Our days are determined of the Lord. The number of our months are with the Lord. One old songwriter wrote years ago, "Man's days are immortal here until their work is done." At our appointed end, at our appointed time, the Lord's going to come and he's going to take his people home. Now, let's go back to verse 1 for just a moment and we'll work our way down to verse 12. "At the time, Herod, the tetrarch," and that means a ruler, a governor, "he heard of the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard of all the miracles going on and all these people being healed, the cripple walking, the blind seeing, the demons cast out. He heard of all these miracles that were going on. And he's thinking in his mind, because he knew what he had done to John the Baptist, he's thinking in his mind, verse 2, he said to his servants, 'This is John raised from the dead.'" Now, a year and a half earlier, John was put in prison. He said, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. Therefore, the mighty works do show themselves forth in him. They are wrought by him." Now, this man was a godless reprobate, yet he had some sort of conscience that bothered him, didn't he? Herod heard of the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the ministry of the Lord was a public ministry. He publicly preached to the people. He publicly raised people from the dead. He publicly healed. His ministry was public. It was open. As someone said, this thing was not done in a corner. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, when Nicodemus came to the Lord by night, the Pharisee, not to be seen. You remember what Nicodemus said? We know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Even the Pharisees recognized the Lord Jesus Christ was something special, someone that was sent of God. And when Herod heard of this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's thinking in his mind, well, this is John raised from the dead. This is John come back from the dead. It says over in Mark 6:20, and you can read the other reference to this story in Mark chapter 6. Herod at first heard John gladly, it says. John's message was that of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Herod at first heard him gladly until John rebuked him for his sin against God. John was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent to identify the Lamb of God. John was the voice of God to his generation, pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all of salvation. And you know what? God's method has not changed in this day. God has not changed his method because God does not change. He's still sending out sinners who are taught the gospel, who are made new creatures in Christ. He's still raising up prophets and sending them with this message, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 2, although Herod was a godless reprobate, he still had a conscience that convicted him of his wickedness. He said, this is John. He's risen from the dead, and he's come to get even with me. He's come to take revenge on me. He remembered his wicked dealings with God's prophet, and he was tormented. He had a conscience. He was a reprobate, but he had a conscience. He thought the Lord Jesus Christ with John, who he had killed, was risen from the dead, seeking to get even with him, seeking to settle a score. He had enough conscience to torment him, but not enough to change him. He had enough conscience to convict him, but not enough conscience to convert him by the grace of God. He had enough conscience to scare him, but not enough to change him or bring him to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One old preacher that I read after quite a bit, Matthew Henry, he said on this point, a guilty conscience needs no accuser or tormentor but itself. Your conscience torments, doesn't it? There may be a terror of conviction, Matthew Henry said, but there's never no true conversion. Everyone has a conscience. You do, I do, even little children. Everyone has a conscience with a sense of what is right and wrong. Even though we are sinful and our conscience is defiled by sin, we still have one. Paul, when he writes in Romans 2, he said, the Gentiles which have not the law, they have the conscience. The law of God is written upon their conscience, accusing them that they are sinners. Accusing them. The law of God is written on the conscience, accusing them. They know in their heart it's wrong to murder someone. They know that because the law of God is written on their conscience. Now, you ever had a guilty conscience? Guilty conscience. I'm not talking about being caught that you stole a watermelon or something like that, but a guilty conscience that you've sinned against God. You ever had a guilty conscience that before the law of God says stop your mouth, the law of God says you're guilty. Guilty as charged. The only thing that will quiet and purge a guilty conscience from dead works to serve a living God and to speak peace to our guilty conscience before God is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of peace. The gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to find Hebrews 9, you can turn with me. Hebrews 9, verse 11 and following. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11. I want to know how a guilty conscience is purged. How can I have peace with God? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We are redeemed with his precious blood. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying in the, of the flesh, that is in the way of ceremony according to the law. But look at verse 14. But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for redemption of the transgression that were under the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The only way our conscience can be purged is by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way our guilty conscience can find peace, we have peace with God only through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Herod, can't you see he's tormented here? He's terrified. He's terrified. Now look at verse 3. Now verse 3 and verse 4. For Herod, and here he tells us how John was killed. He tells us how Herod had killed John. For Herod had laid hold on John, and he bound him, and he put him in prison for Herodias' sake. That was his wife that he stole from his brother Philip. And John said unto him, verse 4, it's not lawful or right for you to take your brother's wife. Well, that upset both of them, and they went about to kill John because he dared tell them the truth. John was a bold, courageous preacher of the gospel who told the truth no matter what the consequences were. When Herod heard the public rebuke of John, he put him in prison. But John would not compromise his message to satisfy Herod or Herodias, regardless of the consequences, even though it cost him his life in doing so. John was a faithful, God-sent preacher. God was faithful. John was faithful unto God, and he declared the truth of God no matter what it cost him. He would not compromise. And here's my thought about this. May God be pleased to raise up and send out more men just like John. Just like John, who would not compromise to satisfy this wicked king. May God be pleased to raise up and send out more preachers just like John, who know that salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ, and determined, as Paul, to preach Christ and Him crucified as all of our salvation. Who are not ashamed to tell us that we're guilty sinners. Who's not ashamed to tell us that Christ is all of salvation and it's by His grace. Who are not afraid of the frowns of men, but would rather preach to please God rather than to compromise and please men. Paul said, if I preach to please men, I'm not the servant of God. Let me read this scripture to you in Galatians chapter 1. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's of God. The gospel of God concerning Christ. Now, in your bulletin, don't look at it now. But in your bulletin, there's an article there on the inside page by my pastor, Henry Mahan. And the last paragraph of that article says this: I find God prophets and apostles and preachers who have been used in the past to be compassionate men, but never compromisers. Never compromisers. To be comforters, but not cowards. You remember Isaiah 40, comfort you, my people. They are willing to take the offense out of their manners, but never take the offense out of their message. Out of their message. They all preach the same thing. Christ, 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 the Lord Jesus Christ is all. In Him goes all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Christ. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul wrote this. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of God. Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. But woe is unto you if I preach the gospel and you won't listen and you won't have it. That's on you, not me. Now look at verse 5. Matthew 14, verse 5. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because he was a prophet. Now notice what it said there. He feared the multitude. He didn't fear God. He feared the people. Herod and Herodias both desired to have John murdered. If you read Mark chapter 6, verse 17, 18, and 19, they plotted and planned to have him brutally killed, but they feared the people, but they did not fear God. Now, you remember what our Lord said about John? Turn back over here to Matthew 11. Remember we had this back here in Matthew 11 when the Lord asked, what did you go out to see? Matthew 11, verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what did you go out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken by the wind? He's not a compromiser. He's not going to bend. Verse 8. What went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And you will not receive this. And you will not have this. John was God's prophet. And Herod didn't fear God's prophet. Herod didn't fear God. It says that he feared the people. He feared the people. Remember the description of our depravity in Romans chapter 3. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Men fear the wrath of people, don't they? And they think nothing of the holy wrath of God. That's what we should be concerned with. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon them. Now look at verse 6, 7, and 8. When Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath that he'd give her whatever you want. He said, to the half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. Little did he know what the request would be. And she said, being fore instructed by her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head. And the charger and the king was sorry, but he said, nevertheless, because I said my oath, and then what sat with him, he commanded it to be done. We see something here of the total depravity of sinners in this wicked plot of Herod, his wife, and his daughter. We see in this horrible story, a true story, we see the same thing every day in our lives, don't we? We see wicked people doing wicked things,
in order to satisfy the lust of their flesh. I mean, you flip on the news every night. It doesn't matter if it's Huntington, Charleston, Ashland, or Lexington, or Louisville. Every night you flip on that channel, somebody getting shot, stabbed, murdered, robbed. I mean, it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? There's no end to it.
We must never be surprised. Our flesh is no different. Our flesh is no different. It's only by the sovereign grace of God that restrains us from doing vile and wicked deeds ourselves.
Now, don't ever be guilty of saying to your heart, in your heart, well, I'd never do that. That would never be me. That would never be said of me. My friend, it's only the grace of God that restrains us. That we're not all wicked and malicious as these people that we're reading about. Our flesh is just like their flesh, fallen, depraved, and sinful. The psalmist said, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of that wrath thou shalt restrain. God even uses the wicked deeds of men to accomplish His eternal purpose. Now get a hold of that. He uses the wicked deeds of men to accomplish His eternal purpose. Don't we see that exact same thing happening in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember what we studied in Acts chapter 4? Let me read it to you again. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Lord's Christ. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 26 and following. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, same man, and Pontius Pilate, he was the Roman ruler, Herod was the Jewish ruler, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand, thy counsel, determined before to be done. Even the wicked deeds of men accomplish God's own eternal purpose. Don't expect me to explain that to you. I just know it's so. God is either absolutely sovereign over all things or He's not sovereign at all. Verse 9 says, the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of his word, he took an oath. He made a public oath. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And them that heard it, that sat with him, they heard that he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison. Herod was sorry because of the rashness making this vain boast, but he could not back down, and he proceeded to have John murdered. Guilty of murder. He ordered his murder. Remember in Revelation chapter 20 when we studied, and it says there, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. John was one of them. Paul was one of them. Herod later on, this same man in Acts chapter 12, you remember the apostle John had a brother named James. This same man named Herod, remember what happened? He took his head off. And he sought to have Peter killed. He put Peter in prison and was going to determine to kill Peter, to behead Peter as well. Remember what happened? The angel of the Lord came and broke Peter out of jail. God spared him. He wasn't done with him. If you look back at church history, all the apostles were killed by wicked men. But we also know this was the Lord's will in this matter. It was the Lord, according to the Lord's purpose. Our very days, as I said earlier, are determined of the Lord. Now listen to this statement. Listen carefully. John lost his head, right? He didn't lose his life. Did you get that? John lost his head, but he didn't lose his life. You see, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For to live, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Gain. The Apostle Paul suffered the same thing. When he was in prison in Rome for 2 years, and after 2 years, the Apostle Paul was beheaded just like John for the gospel's sake. And he writes this when he writes his last letter to young Timothy, his last chapter, his last words.
He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I finished my race. I've kept the faith. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to depart. Paul, where are you going? To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Look at verse 11. His head was brought on a platter. Now, this is just gross, isn't it? I mean, this is just repulsive, isn't it? Just to think about someone wanting to have a prophet's head removed and then presented at Herod's birthday party. I mean, it's vile, isn't it? It's repulsive, isn't it? How depraved we really are. That's what that displays here. Herod had John beheaded. Apostle Paul lost his head. All the apostles suffered martyrdom. Bloody minds are pleased with bloody sight, aren't they? How wicked is our own depraved heart. And it's on display all around us. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In closing, verse 12. And his disciples came. This is John's disciples. And they took up his body. Now some I read, and historically they think that his head was buried separately. And I don't know. But in my mind, when it says they took up the body or the corpse, I just got in my mind that included John's whole body, and they took it and buried his body. They took it, buried his body. Now notice, it says they took up his body and buried it. It doesn't say they took up his body and buried John. They didn't bury John. John wasn't there. John is with the Lord. John went home to be with the Lord. They took the body of John and buried it, but they didn't bury John. The Lord took his faithful servant from prison. Now listen to me. The Lord took his faithful prison, John, his faithful servant, John, from prison to paradise with a stroke of the sword. That's what happened. It's just like that dying thief on the cross. You remember those two dying thieves? One railed on him. The other, the Lord granted repentance. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Well, they took that man's body down from a tree and broke his leg so he'd die and put him in the ground somewhere. They didn't bury that repentant thief. He went home with the Lord. With the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This day you'll be with me in paradise. Remember what our Lord said to Martha when her brother Lazarus had passed away? The Lord said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I do believe this. When our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord die, and we conduct their funeral, we're looking at their body, but we're not looking at them. They've gone home. They're with the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. They went and told the Lord Jesus Christ what happened. Do you think this was news to him? The Lord Jesus Christ ordered this. It was all part of his decree. You remember the scripture said, I, the Lord, see now that I am he. There is no God with me. There is no God beside me. He said, I kill, I make alive. I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. God ordered this. That doesn't let Herod off the hook. He's responsible for his own wicked deed. And God's going to hold him responsible for his own wicked deeds. We know the scripture teaches known unto the Lord all his works from the beginning. It is always the right thing to do when these men came to the Lord and laid their burden out unto the Lord, it's always the right thing to do to take our burdens to the throne of grace and leave them there. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Where is John today? He's with the Lord. He's with the Lord. Where is Herod today? Where is Herod today? I think we have an answer to that. Look right across the page. You remember Matthew 13? Look at verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good vessels, but they cast the bad away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where is John today? He's with the Lord. Where is Herod today? Suffering the wrath of God. Suffering the wrath of God.